Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, White Sox fans, guess what? It's playoff time. Two straight years. It's never happened before. Sad, but true. But we're excited. We're so excited that at Southside Sox, we're creating pregame podcasts now. It's going to be like a whole thing. We've done a couple. We did opening day on the road. And of course, we did opening day at home. But those are still in the umbrella of Southside Sox, whatever. Hey, this is called Southside Sox pregame podcasts. Party people. And I got two party people with me here. Well, I guess, first of all, I'm your favorite White Sox fan, people. Brett Valentini, I'm hosting yet another Southside Sox podcast. With me, the man's addicted. He cannot stop. He got his first taste just the other day. He's back for some more. It's Adrian Serrano. And of course, representing, shouldering the whole of Indianapolis on his shoulders tonight, it's Super Joseph Reese's. And he's coming. He's going to bring the energy. Let's talk first off, guys, this sort of news we got today among all the little, White Sox get to Houston, so they do a couple press conference type of things, is the fact that apparently Jose Abreu is fairly ill to the point where it's not even certain what the illness is. We're hoping, of course, it's just flu, food poisoning, maybe a Michael Jordan game or a Walter Payton game of days past, but reaction to that? Do you think he's going to be able to play? You think this is what sort of effect does this have on the White Sox in game one?
It kind of, the timing of it was a bit weird, but I guess it's just kind of one of those things that maybe somebody just mentioned it offhand and then somebody else asks about it and they keep asking about it and it becomes a bigger thing. I can't imagine a situation where Jose Abreu doesn't play tomorrow. I mean, Tony left him in after taking like a 96 mile an hour fastball at the side of the helmet. So like, unless he's missing a leg come tomorrow, like Jose is going to be batting in the lineup and playing first base.
Literally coughing up a lung. Okay, let's hope that doesn't happen. Joe, your thoughts?
Like you said, if Abreu has any ability to play, he will find himself in the lineup. I mean, yeah, he has dealt with a lot throughout his career, especially this season with all the hit by pitches, and he has shown just an incredible amount of resilience. And I think it would have to be pretty darn bad for him not to play. It is unfortunate. You always hate to see it, any kind of injury or illness. And hopefully this is able to blow over rather quickly. But yeah, I'm optimistic that he will find himself in the starting lineup on game one.
Tony La Russa's old school. This could, you never know. This could be the strangest form of gamesmanship ever. sickness, putting him in doubt. And maybe Houston's like, man, maybe we shouldn't hit him 6 or 7 or 8 times during the series. Yeah, you never know. Oh, he's sick. Don't hit him. Notable, Jose Abreu never wants to sit out. He doesn't even ever want to DH. Traditionally, he DHs, I think, on Sundays, what Tony's been doing with him. He didn't play in the finale. Now, granted, it's the last game of the season. At that point, completely meaningless. But you know he didn't not want to play. So maybe that was an early indication he was battling a little bit. And so now maybe it has been for several days. I hope not. Or if so, I hope he's about to be better, because the White Sox, you know, we need to be full strength, especially starting out in Houston. The other bit of news we got after pretty much already having it confirmed, of course, logically, Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito are going to be the 1-2 starters in the series, formally confirming Lance Lynn, which seemed to be the majority speculation among our staff, would get the game one call. And I don't really remember where either of you weighed in terms of the Lynn versus Giolito to start off. I'll say myself, as your favorite White Sox fan, I was in the Giolito camp. I was extremely impressed with what he did in his very first postseason game last year. He is still technically, you know, right? He's still regarded the ace of the staff. He's been as healthy or healthier than Lynn right down the stretch, pitching as well as, and Lynn does still seem to be nursing that knee. It makes me a little nervous. Not that this is a big deal. So given that this isn't a big deal, where do you guys weigh in on the news that Lynn is going to be the game one starter?
I don't think anybody is surprised by it. I definitely could have gone either way. It's kind of the collision of two like old school things. We're all looking for Tony to kind of always go with the old school of thought process. So like the old school of like, oh, do I go with the hot hand or do I go with my guy? Lance Lynn is Tony's guy from way back, you know, in St. Louis. So like it's kind of both ways. Like, who is he going to trust more? And like, I think Lynn, between, you know, if Lynn tells him to his face that he's healthy enough to start, I think that's what Tony's going to go with. He's going to, I'm going to believe you that you're good to go. And I think they're hoping that, you know, if, you know, we get to game five and need game five, that maybe Lance Lynn has a little more track record of getting back on 3 days rest and, you know, getting it done, where Gio's never really had to try to do that before.
Well, Adrian, talk about a guy who will say he's going to take the ball with one leg. I mean, we talk about Abreu, but you know, Lynn's the same way. Joe, what are you thinking about the decision? Agree with it? Big deal or not?
I disagree, but it's very, I think it's a minor issue in the long run here. I would have personally gone with Giolito, but I could totally understand it either way. And it, both pitchers have performed very well this year. Giolito's second half has obviously been great. And with, even though Giolito doesn't have the veteran presence that Lynn has, you know, he was remarkable in his one postseason start last year. And I mean, the stage was certainly not too big for him, and it won't be too big for him this year either. Lynn has been very good though. And really, this is a very good problem to have, where you have two starting pitchers where either one would be a strong selection for game one starter in the ALDS. So I will not complain about this one.
Word got out that it's party people on this podcast. So Colleen Sullivan naturally has hopped on with us, and I think she is going to side with the Lance Lynn as your number one starter faction.
I am. Well, no, okay, Brett, we already talked about this today, so you knew what my answer was going to be. But yeah, I'm going with Lance Lynn as my starter. Like, nothing against Giolito, but we got Lance Lynn tried and true on, you know, how many years of postseason work. You know, not even just the division series, the championship series, all of that. He's got World Series experience. Mm-hmm. And he's got more World Series experience than Dallas Keuchel. if we're going to get technical about things, because I'm sure there's someone out there going, why isn't Dallas starting? Like they haven't watched all fucking season.
Yeah. I hope not too many people are, but yes, there probably is somebody.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going with Lance Lynn on this one. Like, again, nothing against Giolito. He had a great start in Oakland last year, But I feel more comfortable with Blynn being the starter, knowing that he's been in this situation before. And I think having a crowd there makes a difference. And I think having an opposing crowd is going to make a difference too.
Yeah,
that's true.
Colleen, seeing as how you just jumped on and we were already rolling, let's just throw a curveball here. Let's talk a little about knowing your enemy. Apparently, Astros fans may be a little thin-skinned. Give me your initial response to your
One guy.
Well, they know what's coming, and yet they're some are out to pout. Do you think the fan base reflects the fact that the team is they're victims?
So somebody's response to Know Your Enemy was very good in the fact that they said the Astros see themselves as like this underdog and like, oh yeah, we cheated and we got caught and we were punished. Not really. You guys were not fucking punished, whatever. And we're this underdog and nobody likes us. And we're going to prove you guys wrong. And the media really needs to stop feeding into that narrative because it's bullshit. We all know it's bullshit. Like, y'all didn't get caught that long ago. If it wasn't for a pandemic, we would have been talking about it last year too. And the fans really lean into that. And like, it's super obnoxious, right? Yeah. Like, when people crap on the Red Sox and the Yankees for their respective sign stealing and cheating and manipulation of technology, I guess is probably the best way to explain it. Red Sox and Yankees fans don't get super defensive and salty about it. They're like, yeah, we did that. It sucks.
Yeah, we're going to hire Alex Cora back. Yeah.
Come on. You knew
let's lead into
back.
It.
Was not,
we
yeah,
knew
was
he
not
was meant. Coming back. Okay, I will. You know what? I'm going to die on the hill. AJ Hinch and Josh Reddick are the only two who got punished because AJ Hinch had to coach the fucking Tigers this year and Josh Reddick had to go to the Diamondbacks, who lost like 50 games in a row.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't remember them mentioning anything about that in the broadcast yesterday with the Yankees and Red Sox that like, oh yeah, by the way,
yeah, exactly.
Had to take a year off from cheating.
yeah, that was conveniently glossed over.
A little sneak. Oh, go ahead. Like,
yeah, I mean, I really feel like Astros fans need to be, I don't want to say humble. I don't think humble is the right word, but like, dude, grow a sense of humor.
And read the room. Read the room. Yeah. Come on. We're like
two
years
from it. No one's going to be on your side. No one's on your side. You guys are cheaters. And the way they go about defending them makes them look like bigger assholes.
Here's something I thought was interesting, Colleen. And the pieces up today, obviously, this is our pregame podcast from Party People. We are just hours away from White Sox game one in the ALDS.
Not and saying how many hours.
The guy, no, we are not. We are not. That is that's
some
mom.
Amount of hours.
That's mom. Nobody opened their windows. The response from Houston, from our crawfish boxes, I believe, is the SB Nation site, our sister site there. The response we're publishing now, as you may have already read, makes a claim that Carlos Correa is the most important player to Houston, which makes it totally plausible. But in the write-up, I thought it was interesting. The writer is claiming that Carlos Correa like sort of like fell on his sword and like took responsibility. Yeah.
Stop.
I was stunned, honestly, to read that.
Stop.
I mean,
he fell on nothing. None of them fell. My God. I'm going to lose my shit. None of them fucking fell on anything. The only one who actually sat and apologized to the media was Dallas Keuchel at Sox Fest. And even then,
yeah, that was
the pitcher.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Nobody gives a shit what he thinks.
And I was on a new team, so he kind of got put in a position where like we have to say something, you know? So like he couldn't just not talk about it. I think
he
would have just glossed over it.
Just insight to the Houston Astros fan base. Ugh. Apparently he's a folk hero because he like took the hit for the cheating scandal. I don't remember that part.
I don't know. Nobody, none of those players took a hit. None of those players got shit. Okay.
If Dusty took more heat than anybody,
I mean,
he's done a great job dealing with all that, you know, taking all that as the lightning rod for everything because he's just used to it, you know, in his profession. He was around Barry Bonds that long. Like, so he's used to people coming for his teams, you know, I show up and I get my checklist. Like, I know what they're going to ask. Like,
he just flipped back his notebook to like 2000. Yeah. It was like, all right, I know this drill.
Give me a minute.
I've done this before.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. Let's get to what our choices are for the White Sox playoff roster. We all know what it is now, but what are our choices? Who do we definitely not want on the playoff roster? We'll be back in just a minute to discuss that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, guess what? We are back for the officially. Listen, it's christened. We've got a whole new podcast, and it's called the Southside Sox Pregame Postcast. It's not called that. In fact, I'm not even going to call it anything now. This is just a Southside Sox podcast because let's just not do a take two on all of this. We are talking now about really what comes down to the last three spots. The roster is pretty preordained, given that people are healthy. Presumably, Carlos Rodon, though we haven't heard anything, gamesmanship again, is obviously going to be cleared to pitch 2-3 innings, if not get to 5. You know, I mean, obviously, fingers crossed, we're going to go complete game, throw no hitter. But I believe we're just going to – let me spitball some names out here to you guys because this is what I want to get back. I want to know who definitely shouldn't be – Colleen, I already know, who shouldn't be on the playoff roster. And the one person you really do think needs to be on the playoff roster. And here's the six names for three spots. This is sort of how I'm trying to break it down. I know no one said there'd be math, but Ronaldo Lopez, Ryan Burr, Romy Gonzalez, wild card, Dallas Keuchel, he says laughing, Jose Ruiz and Sebi Zavala as maybe a third catcher or maybe even replacing Zach Collins. Those are my six. I don't need necessarily three. And let's face it, these are the last three guys on the bench. Let's go around first. Give me the one guy among those who needs to be on the playoff roster.
From that list, I would have to go with Sebi. That's just because my guy to not make it is Zach Collins. Like, the playoffs just amplifies everything and every strike matters, and just watching the pitching staff amazingly look better when Grandal came back and caught a lot of games, like, is not a surprise at all if you actually pay attention to the fact that Zach Collins just cost his pitcher strikes consistently throughout a ball game.
Yeah, can I replace Zach Collins with Sebi Zavala?
You can. You can.
Like, that's my big one. So, okay, so does that mean I get four picks now?
Yeah, exactly. If you're knocking Zach out of here, then you just take all six guys. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, of course.
They can be Zach in Houston if they really want him, but, like,
yeah. Hopefully Yasmani catches every game, but he also is always a question mark just with his health if he needs a day or two, like, so somebody might have to catch along, especially if these series go long.
Right. Well, and Zach Collins is, and everyone's argument about Zach Collins for a long time was that, well, his defense is not great, but he hits. Okay, well, he hasn't been hitting, and his defense sucks. So now what?
Yeah.
And I will take catcher defense, consistent catcher defense, and quality defense over him hitting a crap ton of home runs. Because we already have a lot of big bats in the lineup. There's already a ton of home run hitters.
Yeah.
Especially now that we're going into Houston with, you know, Luis and Eloy and everybody else that's back healthy. Like, I would be a lot more comfortable replacing Zach with Sebi as our backup.
Yeah, and we do not even have to regard Sebi as, like, plus defense. And I'm not even sure he is. I mean, at this point, the bar is competent defense. you know, really, when it comes down to it. And I mean, I think his ceiling is higher than that. But, I mean, he's shown this year maybe, let's say, maybe at best average. That's an improvement. Okay. We've all jumped on Sebi. Joe, do you have a different answer? Or even if you don't, give me a different answer just so we can invite maybe one of these other five guys up to the roster.
Yes. Before I give my other answer, I will say I'm on board with Sebi over Zach. Like, Zach just hasn't hit well enough to make up for that very bad defense behind the plate, as you mentioned. So I would be totally fine with leaving him off and replacing him with Sebi. Reynaldo Lopez has really surprised me this year, and the luck on batted balls has been a little bit in his favor, but he has looked quite a bit better. His walk rate, only 2 walks per 9 innings. That's good. That's easily the lowest of his career for any season. And he seems like he's pretty much left the very ugly 2019 and 2020 seasons for him in the rearview mirror. And
eye surgery did him wonders.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Go figure. Seeing the plate improves your pitching. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, and I like, not to be a jerk about it, but like, dude, how bad was your eyesight?
Yeah.
Because I mean, he's even said, like, I can see the plate now. And I mean, he might be playing around a little bit, but I mean, it's like what?
Especially, it's impressive because, like, he has not gained any movement on his fastball, which is still a problem for him. You know, like, if when they're sitting fastball and they get it, they're going to hit it because it just doesn't have any movement on it. But he's able to pitch off his breaking pitches a little more effectively. Yep.
Well, yeah. And that's the key, right? Like, the Astros have had a hard time hitting breaking pitches this season. And, you know, I mean, and obviously a little bit last season too, but when I was doing Know Your Enemy and doing some comparisons, I noticed that breaking pitches seem to be the issue for a lot of the big Astros hitters, you know? So I would like, you know, I would like Lopez in with that breaking stuff because he, you know, we know his fastball is not that great right now. And if he's going to go in and throw more breaking stuff, I think he would tie up the hitters just fine.
Well, and certainly head-to-head with Dallas, and we're going to get to Dallas here in just a second, but head-to-head with Dallas, if you're looking at those guys, let's call them the 25th and 26th men that you don't necessarily want to use because I'm not sure you can necessarily trust Ronaldo either. But if it's a situation where someone's hurt or someone is just shelled and you are going to have a guy, not necessarily even come in and wear it, but just, you know, be the long man, I don't know anybody who's going to say, well, Dallas Keuchel has – he's crafty and he has experience, so he's the guy I'm going to choose. He might be the guy you have to choose because Ronaldo's already spent or he's not even on the playoff roster, but I don't think he's going to be the choice. So let's jump to it then. Do you place, given the circumstances that Dallas, you know, is in and the fact that even his little audition, which Tony says doesn't mean anything, his little audition out of the pen did not go well, does he make the playoff roster?
Here's the only way that I'm using Dallas Keuchel in the situation. I'm not using him as a reliever out of the bullpen. I know that that's the new talking point right now is using Keuchel out of the bullpen. If I'm keeping Keuchel on the playoff roster, I am keeping him as to start because it's hard to go from a starter to a reliever. We all know that. We've heard Steve Stone hammer that home all season. I'm keeping him in as a starter for 3 innings max. Because we've noticed as he goes deeper into games, that's really where the wheels are starting to fall off. So then at that point, and I hate doing bullpen, I hate bullpen games in the playoffs, but at that point I'm bringing in Lopez because while Lopez does have that starting pitching experience, we've seen him do remarkably well coming out of the bullpen this season. So I think I would pair them together.
Or even in a pitching scenario. Yeah, or even potentially a Kopech that would make the Astros think that they had started the game in Little League and then they were back in the major leagues based on that velocity.
Adrian, that T-Mobile commercial.
Yeah. Adrian, Joe, thoughts on Dallas even getting on the playoff roster?
I mean, it's hard to say right now. Like, you have to kind of really read the tea leaves with Tony on how he's going to, you know, manage his veteran presence and his veteran, you know, personality. And like, I can't see him leaving him off the postseason roster, but like I can't also see a place for him to, you know, feature into the games in a 5-game series. In a 7-game series, that makes a lot more sense. Like, sure, or maybe, you know, he could take the 3rd or 4th game, but like, I just can't see, you know, unless you're only going to have everybody on a short leash, like Colleen was mentioning, everybody's, you know, 3 innings and you're going to see everybody one time and then we're going to move on to our bullpen or somebody else.
Yeah, Adrian, Tony aside, it's a done deal. He's going to be on the postseason roster. Tony is not going to let a veteran not be on the postseason roster. Do you think he should be on the postseason roster?
I mean, based on like Colin said, we've seen Lopez come out of the bullpen and be successful, and we've seen him start games and be successful this season. So, I mean, from that alone, like, he gives you both of those options that, you know, Kopech, we've seen the same out of. We've seen Dallas try to come out of the bullpen one time and it not go well.
Yeah, Super Joseph.
He did get up to 90 miles an hour, you know, so that's something. I'll give it to him. He came in juiced up and he was trying to throw hard. But
he was ready to field those ground balls.
Yeah, it just didn't go well for him. So, like, I can't imagine he's in a good enough mind space to jump in there at a postseason game and be that guy.
That's true. Joe, what you thinking?
Yeah, I am not a fan of the approach of him getting that big of an advantage because he has as much major league experience as he does. But I'm just not sure, you know, by taking him, who exactly, you know, he would be preventing from getting a spot, who I would strongly prefer to have over him. He obviously has had a disappointing season, and I would certainly hope that he doesn't have a big role in the series, but if they use him, you know, in a diminished role, that's fine with me. And with a left-handed pitcher, like, normally I would, you know, be an advocate for, you know, him coming in the game with maybe like 2 out of 3 lefties due up in an inning, perhaps. Although his splits are pretty much the same against righties and lefties, so it can't really use that argument in his favor. I'm fine with him being on the roster just because the alternatives are just kind of questionable.
Well, Joe, he is going to be a big factor in the series because he's going to accidentally walk into the Houston locker room for game one because his heart has never left Houston. And I think my addition,
we can leave his body in Houston.
And Colleen and I already discussed this, and that is, I think he makes a playoff roster so we can accidentally leave him in Houston when they go back to Chicago. And then it's like, where'd he go? And then maybe they even get some special dispensation from Manfred to, you know, add a new 26th guy. And that's my thinking, just sort of an abandonment thing. Sometimes, you know, listen, sometimes you gotta just rip the band-aid off sometimes.
Like, but can we get him can we get him the job driving the train up in left field? Like, let him be the folk hero driving the train.
He can choo-choo it.
Is there a person actually in there? I've never paid attention.
There is a conductor in there, yeah.
I wonder how that person gets that job. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Somehow that bumps me out even more.
Firstly, like, how is that a job, and how is Dallas already not doing that job?
How is it already not his job?
The Dallas Express.
I would like to see it go a different direction. Let's mix this thing up.
Go all the way around.
Okay, anticipation. This is the first time the White Sox have ever been in back-to-back postseasons, even if we may regard this as a legitimate postseason. And then last year sort of as a weird flip a coin and you're in the postseason type of thing, but in the record books it counts. But this stuff is for real. A real opponent, a real 5-game series, a real challenge in front of the White Sox. Just how's it feeling? As we're just, again, mere minutes away from first pitch, you know, butterflies kicking in yet? You know, what are we thinking about this?
I'm stressed.
Well, you wear it well.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm stressed out. I want to be optimistic that things are going to go well in Houston. The regular season games there make me nervous for how those went. I mean, and there were a lot of missing factors. We had a lot of guys hurt. But still, I'm stressed. Y'all, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, the only thing that's giving me pause still is the fact that we just have not heard anything about Carlos Rodon. So, like, that's the only question mark that I have going into this. Otherwise, I'm feeling pretty good. I was looking into, you know, Tim Anderson's numbers earlier today and made me feel just really, you know, excited about, like, this offense is different when Tim Anderson is playing well, and his numbers since, you know, the middle of September have been just stellar, you know. So I feel like they're going to score some runs, and I feel like I would feel better about the outcome if I had Rodon, who would probably have been my pick for be the, you know, the game one starter, were he healthy, just from his performance in Houston, you know, a few times now, and their, you know, struggle with the breaking stuff, as Colleen pointed out. He's a good matchup for them, but if he's not going to be available, then it becomes a little more iffy, but I still think that the I'm feeling pretty good overall.
And Super Joseph, I know you're feeling good because we've gone this entire podcast, the Party People podcast, the White Sox, Southside Sox pregame podcast. I think that's what we're calling it, without even mentioning your guy, Luis Robert.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm doing okay right now. It hasn't, maybe it just hasn't sunk in yet. And it probably won't until it's, you know, the base is loaded and the protecting a one run lead in the seventh inning or something tomorrow. But we'll see. But for now, I'm feeling surprisingly calm.
That said, let's, again, maybe some of you have already committed predictions on this series to the various families of Southside Sox podcast, but let's do it again. Colleen, I'm going to start with you because it seems like you're sort of a little jittery here. What do you think?
In my defense, I did try to watch the game earlier today. However, as we are recording this podcast, it is Wednesday and he was that up.
Yeah, what do you do? What are you watching? To know how
things are going,
man. That's a hot DVR you got.
Computer clock was lying to me.
I was like, oh my god, it's not on Fox. What's going on? And then I looked, and I was like, oh, it's Wednesday. I think we're gonna go five. I think there's gonna be five games.
That's all you're gonna commit to.
That's all I'm committing to.
Man, you really are nervous.
All right. I'm also very superstitious. When it comes to baseball stuff, I'm very superstitious. The most you're going to get me to commit to is that I think they're going to go five games.
All right. That's a fair pass, but you've explained yourself enough that we'll allow it at least this time. Adrian, Joe, what you got?
I have the White Sox in four. I just think it's going to happen for them. Like, I feel like it's I'm very happy that we have Houston in a five game series instead of a seven game series. I'm just like, I would worry about that offense, you know, for seven games to have to beat them four times. Like, just to beat them three, I think, get in there, get game one, and then you know, do enough over the next three games to get it done, and watch Luis Robert hit one up on the train tracks at Houston's gonna be a fun time.
Watch out, Dallas.
I'll be at game four to watch him close it out at the guaranteed rate. So
sweet.
And Colleen is on the bat.
I will be at game three, just cringing. Like, if anybody sees a short Irish person, very tense,
huddled
and cringing,
in the corner,
it's me.
Just pacing.
I'm in different seats now. Now we're in the lower levels. I got new tickets through work,
nice.
So I'll be the. I'll be the one on the screen sitting all tense in my seat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Zoom in on her again. Okay, Joe, what's the prediction?
I need to mention that all of my, not all, but a bunch of my predictions for team performance have gone down in flames this year.
Oh, God.
I tweeted about this yesterday I had the Padres beating the Yankees in the World Series. Both of those teams are already out.
So then it's a Houston sweep, Joe.
I was going to say Astros in five. So,
double jinx.
And I'm probably the worst predictor here. So there we go.
You know what, Joe? If it does end up being Houston in five, I'm going to come find you.
Okay.
She will recovered.
I'm going to come find you.
As I said before, I'm with Adrian. I think maybe you know, I might even be tempted to go three. I could see the White Sox losing the first and running it. They're not going to lose a blackout game three. So good news for you, Colleen, you can calm down already. but yeah, I like to see them. I like, probably because Adrian's there. I like the idea of them wrapping it up before they have to go back to Houston. I'm not saying the game's going to be blowout or it's going to be an easy series. For some reason, I'm feeling a lot like the White Sox are going to capture the momentum quickly. And that goes for even if they lose the first game out of the box, because that's going to be their toughest challenge. Game one is going to be the roughest. And I see that being a close one. Maybe they don't win. Mm-hmm. And then I think I could see them running three and Carlos Rodon coming out, maybe going far longer into the game than we think, giving a strong four or five, maybe in six.
Adrian, maybe you'll get lucky and Carlos Rodon will come up for game four. He'll know that you're there.
I got to see his last start of the regular season, so I'm hoping.
Carlos is like, Adrian doesn't know my status. I gotta reinforce it for him.
My Cy Young award winner, unfortunately, injury derailed him.
Yeah, hey, listen, man. That's not the craziest thing, the way he was pitching. All right, well, again, we really do have to wrap it up because pregame is probably starting any second now. So, you know, we got to hop off of here, throw up the podcast. You guys can get a quick listen, like during the commercials or whatever. You know, I mean, Ozzy, he's going to go off on some rant. So just listen to the podcast while Ozzy's like laying on the couch or Big Hurt is like guffawing and coughing or whatever. You know, there's plenty of time during the pregame to listen to our podcast. And I think we are slightly more comprehensible than the Comcast. But hey,
I didn't promise that.
Well, no. Okay. All right. I'll speak for myself then. Nervous Colleen is not thrown down. No, that's true. But again, we are going to be rocking a ton of coverage. Colleen actually is sort of headlining something a little bit new we're doing, or we've only occasionally done in the past. For each game, or at least for some games. Yeah, no pressure. you know, of course, usual recap, six pack of stats. We're going to be doing sort of a next game reaction type of column piece as well. Probably even feature, you know, Adrian's probably going to write like three features. People are going to write a feature at the game. He's been throwing so much stuff out for us. So he's probably already got a couple things right now in the hopper that I'm going to now have to publish. So sorry, this podcast might be late. We are going to take this playoffs very seriously, just as the White Sox are in winning and in four, right, Adrian? So, you know, and sending you home happy and not having to go back to Houston, because then they go back to Houston, then they're going to they're going to feel obligated to retrieve Dallas Keuchel. We don't want that. Just let him stay. You know, he's going to have a little spot nest. He's going to find his old corner locker in the clubhouse. He's just going to want to nestle in there. So just let him lie. Let him be there. And White Sox move on to play, Tampa or Boston, whatever. Doesn't matter. Don't matter. Colleen, it don't matter. Don't worry. Yeah, he says, oh boy, talk to me in a game. Okay. Yeah. On that note, we will not have a pregame. We're going to have a post game after game one. We will not have a pregame for game two because it starts at like 9:30 in the morning or whatever. But we are going to try to do a pre and post game podcast, you know, reaction, anticipation, whatnot. Just like this one, man, we are jittery because we are mere moments away from first pitch. So,
ready.
We'll stop yakking and let you get to the ball game. Thanks as always for listening, sometimes even watching us, and always reading. Appreciate you, the readers. Without you, we are not here. But on behalf of Adrian, Super Joseph, and Nervous Colleen, who's going to be there on camera constantly during game three in the blackout, I'm Brett Valentini. Thank you for listening.